Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Jen Duffy, and thanks so much for joining us tonight for this edition of the Happy Healthy Hour. Callers can dial in to 646-716-9397 and press 1 at any time if you'd like to be on the air and placed in the queue. I'll be taking questions, comments, and ideas from the audience tonight. So today's topic is meditation, and the focus for today's show is more meditation for newbies or people who have heard a lot about meditation lately and, you know, read some of the growing body of research documenting its positive health effects and benefits, but really aren't quite sure how to approach it. You know, busy people who know, like, exercise and eating right, it's probably something they should do, but really not sure how or when or where, or just really how to get started. And there's much deeper study of meditation that, you know, people spend years and years on, and there's also a lot of discourse about differing opinions on what meditation is and what it isn't. And even the word meditation itself can be really used quite broadly and can apply to dozens of different practices that fall under meditation. Meditation has been practiced for thousands and thousands of years and has history in many different spiritual traditions, in Buddhism, Christianity, Hinduism, Judaism, Islam, you know, to name just a few. And so today, you know, I'm not trying to oversimplify a very complex area that has many scholars and practitioners around the world and can be very esoteric about getting into deeper states of consciousness and is deeply rooted and steeped in tradition and has much literature written about it. But today, to really talk about more of some of the commonalities about meditation practices and how to make it more accessible for people, you know, especially as it becomes more and more mainstream. And really, why not, if the positive benefits to one's health and mood can really be shared more broadly? So that's what we're going to be discussing today. And before we get going, I always start off the show with a what we're drinking feature. And today I was inspired because the weather here in New York is so fall-like. The air is really crisp, and actually I think it even might be a bit chillier than normal, but, you know, it's definitely the time where you want to put your sweater on and light a fire if you have access to one, or go somewhere warm and cozy and have some of those really wonderful fall meals. And I'm making a Halloween feast for my immediate family tonight. So it's very small, but lots of good food. And I spent most of the day cooking carrot ginger soup and making a lightened apple crispo, not so bready or buttery, but using some coconut oil and some almond flour to kind of lighten up and really feature the apple as the main ingredient, roasted root vegetables, and I literally have the carrot stains on my shirt from an unfortunate immersion blender incident to prove it from earlier today. And so all these wonderful fall foods made me think about pumpkin as well, and having the pumpkins around the house to decorate. And I made a pumpkin smoothie. I had some maple yogurt from our farm share that I wanted to use. This great organic maple yogurt, and I mixed that in the blender with a cup of pumpkin puree, a large ripe banana. You can use like a cup and a half of almond milk or some other liquid that you prefer. You could use coconut milk or even, you know, regular dairy if you want. But then I substituted a half cup of the maple yogurt just to try to see how it was. And it made the consistency a little thicker, and it gave it a little bit more of a maple flavor. About a tablespoon of honey, half teaspoon of vanilla extract, and 1 1/4 pumpkin pie spice, or basically to taste. It had, depending on how kind of spicy you want it or not. And then some ice, blended it in the blender, and it kind of tastes like liquid pumpkin pie. And you could garnish with just a sprinkle of nutmeg, and it's great because it has a lot of vitamin A, potassium, and fiber in it. So around this time of year, you might want to switch up your smoothie and try experimenting with pumpkin and some other of the fall fruits and vegetables in your drinks. So if you're just tuning in now, you're listening to the Happy Healthy Hour on the Life Coach Radio Network. Listeners can call in to 646-716-9397 and press 1 at any time if you'd like to be put on the air and placed in the queue. So we're talking about meditation today. And as I was doing some preparation for today's show, I was looking at a whole host of different, you know, websites, blogs, literature, just to kind of, you know, really see what's out there on meditation and what, you know, people have been writing about and what various sources are citing about meditation. And it was interesting, I had found the definition on from the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, which says that meditation may be practiced for many reasons, such as to increase calmness and physical relaxation, to improve psychological balance, to cope with illness, or to enhance overall health and well-being. And, you know, I think a lot of the articles that are being published now as meditation becomes more and more popular usually cites a lot of those reasons. And, you know, people who have come to a meditation practice in recent years, those tend to be a lot of the benefits people cite for why they started doing meditation and why they continue to do so. One of the definitions that I came across that I really like is the Chopra Center definition. And that's, they say in some of their literature that meditation is a tool for the rediscovery of the body's own inner intelligence. In practice for thousands of years, it's not about forcing the mind to be quiet. It's finding the silence that's already there and making it a part of your life. And I think that's very applicable to, you know, today's busy modern day world and why many of us would turn to a meditation practice. And the definition continues to say, from this field of pure potentiality, we get our bursts of inspiration, our most intuitive thoughts, and our deepest sense of connection to the universe. You know, and I think a lot of the literature recently has also cited, you know, creativity as meditation boosting your energy and creativity. And meditation has even been written up about in, you know, magazines even such as Forbes and Fortune, and innovators and executives who are turning to meditation as a way to kind of filter out some of the noise that's always present in our lives and really trying to be inspired and come up with new ideas and create some space to do that. And so there is so much out there to learn, and, you know, you can really get deep into the study and the practice of meditation. But again, for purposes of today, we're really just going to explore a little bit, kind of a basic entree into meditation and, you know, some practical, accessible ways to incorporate it into your life. And I'm not an expert in meditation by any means. You know, I've really kind of come to discover it more or less over the last 10 years or so as a way to calm myself. I tend to be an anxious person. I don't know if it's a nature or nurture thing or what. I've always been envious of people who are just calm, cool, collected all the time, never seem to let things bother them or worry them, and, you know, can kind of just go through life maintaining even keel. And that's not to say that they don't experience stress, because we really all do experience stress to some degree. And, you know, there's good stress in the sense that it means you care about an outcome, or you're passionate about what's going to happen, or, you know, and our bodies are meant to have a reaction to stress and are wired to do so. But it's that constant, chronic, prolonged stress that many of us seem to feel like we're under at times that takes its toll, and that meditation can really kind of, you know, help with. And, you know, with myself, when I am not taking care of myself properly, my anxiousness can sometimes manifest in heart palpitations. And, you know, over the last 10 years, I've sent myself to the emergency room twice with heart palpitations because my anxiety didn't have an outlet, and it would just manifest in this reaction that my body had. And, you know, thankfully, whenever you have something experience like that, you go to your doctor, and I've had the whole cardiology workup, and everything, you know, is fine, thankfully. You know, my heart is strong, it's fine. It's just that palpitations can be something some people are prone to, and often in response to stress or anxiety. I found personally that they tend to flare up also if I am under stress and have been drinking too much caffeine, or haven't drank enough water, and haven't been exercising or finding time for myself. So it's that buildup of that chronic stress. And, you know, I've found using kind of breathwork and meditation as a way to help slow them down. And so, you know, obviously if you have any type of heart issue or palpitations, it's always best to get checked out by your doctor. But if you do find that you sometimes will get occasional heart palpitations or feel that raciness or anxiousness, using meditation can be a good way to try and help calm yourself down. And I find that I very infrequently get palpitations, even when dealing with a lot of stress and anxiety, if I'm, like I said, watching my caffeine, drinking a lot of water, trying to get rest. Rest is another important one for maintaining overall health. And if I do feel them coming on, I will try and employ some simple techniques to try and calm the anxiety, be centered, clear my mind a bit, slow down, you know, make sure I'm taking deep breaths as opposed to just that shallow breathing that we sometimes find ourselves in when we're anxious or nervous about something. And so we'll talk a little bit more at the end of the show about a meditation that can be done for anxiety. So we'll go through a little short guided exercise at the end of this call, and we'll also talk about some other resources that you can find on the internet. Many are available for free. Some can be downloaded for purchase or, you know, a nominal fee, some of the apps. So we'll talk about some potential resources that you can turn to and find to learn more and to try and incorporate this practice in your life. There are also a lot of meditation teachers out there, and a lot of people really strongly recommend that you find a meditation teacher or you take some classes or look for some workshops specifically on meditation. Sometimes there really can be power from starting in a group setting and having, you know, the encouragement of a meditation group. But for purposes of fitting it into your schedule, there's a lot of really great things that you can do just right in your own home, and you don't need a lot of resources, and you don't need to be reliant on an external schedule or other people to do it. And I think for a lot of people who are really busy and juggling career and family life and just such a myriad of obligations we all find ourselves having to juggle, that being able to do it on your own at home can really be a good solution. So we'll talk a little bit more about that today, just knowing that that can be a good option for a lot of people. What is a great enabler of being able to take meditation more mainstream and more accessible to people, both on the go and in their homes, or, you know, if you're traveling even in a hotel room, wherever, is technology. And it's interesting because in a lot of ways, technology is what kind of almost breeds the need for us to be doing more meditation and finding more calm, because technology keeps us so plugged in all the time that it's hard to quiet your mind and separate yourself from, whether it's constantly checking your email or, you know, just checking the news all the time and just being so plugged in, as opposed to being able to just disconnect your mind and disconnect away from all of the different things that help contribute to our busy, cluttered mind. And so in this case, technology really is a blessing and a curse. So if you can use technology to your advantage and use some of the tools to help create a calmer mental state, then that's great. If you find that it's too hard to use your iPhone to run an app that will allow you to meditate because you're too tempted to check your email or can't turn off the phone and not get a call in the middle, then, you know, there might be some other things you might want to try. You might want to go old-fashioned and buy a CD. I actually like a CD in the evening because I don't want to be reliant on a device or computer. If I just put a CD on and have my devices away from me, it's a lot less distracting. Thanks to technology, you actually can have access to some of really the most inspiring teachers in the world. You don't necessarily need to go to them. You can bring them to you. Again, not necessarily a substitute for sitting in a class, but it really enables such a global practice now that you can, you know, be in another country and yet download something or watch something on the internet from someone who is, you know, really far away but very well regarded or just resonates with you. You know, a lot of this is finding a meditation class or download or a CD or YouTube video that you like. So experiment, and if you go on and find one that you don't like, you don't have to. I mean, everyone feels differently about either the voice or the pace or the content, you know, what words they're using and saying. So, you know, if you try and don't like, maybe try again and experiment a little bit until you find a practice that really works for you. And, you know, there are some great apps out there. I particularly am a fan of Vana, and then also Calm.com. You can get it as an iPhone app, or you can just load it onto your computer. And Calm.com has a timer. It has, so you can just actually have the calming music. And then there's also guided meditation set for different times. And YouTube has a bunch that are free for different lengths of time. There's a great online store called SoundsTrue.com that has a good selection of guided meditations. Some of the ones that I like are especially for, you know, introduction to meditation. There's Unplug for an hour a day or a weekend, which is a kit that includes 2 CDs of guided meditation, some contemplation cards, and a guidebook. There's another great one called Meditation for Beginners, and that has a book of just, you know, basic instructions and some CDs. And then Mindfulness for Beginners is another good one that's kind of designed around stress reduction, and it has 5 different meditations for those who are wanting to start a practice. And a favorite I mentioned before, a CD that I like to listen to in the evening, is called Daydreaming by the Sea. For me, the sound of the sea, I'm such a beach person and water person, that really helps guide my relaxation state. And it's a great one to listen to in terms of stress relief and then getting into restful sleep. A lot of times, you know, people struggle with insomnia or sleep disturbances because they go to bed with their mind still racing and they're still so wired. So if you're able to calm the mind using meditation or breath work and relaxation techniques, then that calming of the mind will help you ultimately have much more relaxed sleep. So I've mentioned the term guided meditation a few times as I've been talking about some of the resources that are available to people wanting to start a meditation practice and explore what's out there. And, you know, guided meditation is where one person or a voice, if it's not in person, if it's through a YouTube video or a CD or any sort of recording, guides another person into a state of relaxation and meditation by using visualization and guided imagery. And what's helpful about this, and I find that this is helpful for people who are new to meditation or really struggle with meditating on their own, even if they've, you know, done some work around learning techniques and going to classes, and that they have a hard time just focusing on their own, and that as soon as they try, their mind races or wanders, that when you have someone else's voice to focus on and the words that they are sharing with you, that can help them get to a state of meditation, because you don't have to work so hard in the sense of fighting what their mind is trying to interject, but really help follow along. And so in that case, when you have a guided meditation and a voice to follow, all you have to do is listen and follow the instructions as they're given. And so being in a quiet, relaxed place, in a quiet, relaxed position where hopefully you won't be interrupted, and then turning on a guided meditation can help you get to that state on your own without having to necessarily go to a class or a workshop if that's just not accessible or convenient for you. And so some of the reasons we mentioned earlier about why people have been doing meditation or are turning to meditation and exploring that to include in their daily lives is because of numerous benefits, you know, such as stress reduction, increasing creativity, managing pain. There's been some studies showing that meditation can help dull a sense of pain, emotional healing, raising consciousness, just relaxing. You know, you don't necessarily need to be under stress to benefit from increased relaxation, peacefulness, increasing energy, greater mental clarity, and even greater self-awareness. And there's a lot of journals and articles out there, and some of the more popular magazines as well as some less known ones. WholeLiving.com has a great article on how to start a meditation practice. Also, the website for the organization Art of Living, they have some good articles and tips how to start. There's a great yoga journal article called Meditation for Everyone, and it breaks down some of the different types of meditation out there and gives a little bit of a description, which could help maybe in your navigating the various types and finding and helping to figure out what might be the best meditation for you. Again, based maybe on what your intention for meditating is or why you're interested in starting a practice. And so the Whole Living article actually has a very interesting explanation of why many of us find it hard to sit and meditate. And, you know, they say the most obvious reason is that this simple act defies the rules of society. We believe in rushing and achieving. We're convinced nothing we do is ever enough. And meditation asks us to draw our attention inward and stay seated when a million impulses call us back to the fray. And I thought that was so true, because there's such a sense sometimes if you're just sitting and doing nothing, that you're doing nothing, and that nothing has a negative connotation. But it's so infrequent now that we really are doing nothing. Even if you think about when you do nothing, a lot of times we're doing nothing with our iPads, our iPhones, our smartphones, our Blackberries, or whatever it is we have, because now we have something tethered to us pretty much constantly that enables us to not even do nothing when we're forced to do nothing. And it's just all the things that you might observe, and I'm always so struck by the way everyone rushes to capture moments using technology as opposed to sometimes just experiencing that. And so we just aren't comfortable with doing nothing. It's just not the way our society has really gotten to, and that we always expect we need to be using every spare free minute to do something to achieve an end or an outcome. And while meditation may have an end or an outcome in the sense of some of those benefits we mentioned earlier, it's less tangible than, you know, something that's on our to-do list or some communication that has to be made with someone else. It's really something that helps to benefit ourselves. But yet, in benefiting ourselves, it benefits others, because when you are out in the world and making decisions and acting with a greater sense of peace and calm, you are perpetuating that and putting that out there, and you're, you know, treating yourself with more love and compassion, and you're likely treating others that way too, where you might have let go of some of that freneticism and stress that you were holding on to, and then are able to be more at peace in the various roles and hats that we all play in our daily lives. And so the article talks about, you know, getting ready to sit. And, you know, people wonder, well, where do I need to go sit? And you don't need any specific, you know, area. I actually know people who have built meditation areas in their house where they have a corner that's their place. I mean, that's wonderful if that is something you want to do, but you really could sit on the floor of any room as long as it's a quiet spot where you won't be disturbed. If you want to light a candle or put some music on, or if you're using a guided meditation, you know, definitely do that. But there's no necessary spot or position or anything that you have to sit. Now, in different meditation philosophies and, you know, traditions, there may be more prescriptive ways about the position or pose, but when we're talking more about a mainstream meditation practice, really just getting comfortable and being comfortable. Some people say sitting upright, eyes closed, eyes open. I actually sometimes like to lay down and meditate, because I'll do it right before I'm going to bed, and I'm comfortable in a, you know, a lying down position. I'm in bed, and that for me is comfortable and helps calm me down at the end of a long, crazy, busy day sometimes. And again, that begs the question of when are you going to meditate? Some people like to meditate first thing in the morning. I feel like it's a way to reset and start their day. They have the most control over their time. If they're a parent, sometimes getting up a little bit extra before their kids wake up, when they have a little bit of quiet before the day kind of breaks into chaos. And, you know, if the day, the morning gets away from you, there's always lunchtime. You know, if you are at a computer, why not try to find a quiet place if you are on a laptop, or if you have an office and can shut a door, or if you have headphones you can put on, and the meditation you're going to do doesn't require you to kind of repeat any mantras. It's something you could really do right at your desk, or you could really just do some simple meditation amongst chaos. It doesn't even have to be, you know, removing yourself from others. It's more challenging, but you could, you know, use your commute to try and do some meditation if it's really more about just trying to sit calmly and quietly and listen to something with your earphones. And again, if you know it doesn't require you repeating out any mantras, you know, your commute could be a time, if you're not driving, but if you're a passive commuter in terms of sitting on a train or a bus or something like that, that you could turn into a time to meditate, because you really don't necessarily need to be moving around. And depending on the length of time, that could be the opportunity to add into your day. And so I think a lot of people, again, think that they need to sit in a particular posture and sit in the lotus position with their legs folded and crossed. Again, as I mentioned, I like to lay down. You could sit on a chair or a sofa or kneel on the floor if that's comfortable for your knees. But what's important is that you are relaxed, but yet still alert that you aren't sleeping, because I'm not sleeping. So you do kind of want to be engaging your mind to some extent. And so for how long are you going to meditate when you start your practice? You need to commit to a specific period of time. And again, different practices and traditions have different times that may or may not be worked into them. Where I'm talking of or speaking about is when we're just really trying to kind of go basic. And so commit to a period that works for you. I read some articles and seen some studies that say 20 to 30 minutes is the ideal time based on, again, these are in some of the studies that they had constructed to help try to start documenting and providing some, you know, evidence-based support to these benefits of meditation. But yet a 10-minute period, if that's what you have, or even a little bit longer if you can work up to that and feel comfortable. Again, there are also people I know that meditate 2 hours a day, an hour in the morning, an hour at night. And for them, that works, and it's been something that they have committed to. But for a lot of people, that's just not, you know, doable. And so you really just want to train your mind to be still. And when you close your eyes or leave them open and you sit still, you kind of want to start assessing your body and just being aware of any of the sensations that when you try to sit still in this posture that you've chosen to sit down, whether it's kneeling, sitting, laying down, and just let the sensations come and be aware of any discomfort or anything. And obviously, if you have some pains, you don't want to sit in pain, but see, you know, don't automatically just adjust, feel and take notice. And then also just follow your breath as it expands and contracts and rise and falls. And let the breath be your anchor. And often people will say that it helps to just note in your mind saying in and out as air comes in and out. And so your mind is going to create thoughts. That's what we do. That's what differentiates us as humans in a lot of ways. And we have these busy minds, and these busy minds create so much and generate so much, but yet at the same time, the mind controls so many things of our own bodies, such as our health and such as our outlook. And so being able to acknowledge your thoughts and understanding the effect that they have on your body is really, really an important kind of thing to be able to be aware of and be mindful of. And so the idea isn't to, you know, push the thoughts away or get angry at yourself for having it, but just to let them go, to acknowledge them and let them go. And so, you know, when you move to a place where if it's judgment or you're being critical of yourself, just notice what's going on and realize, okay, that was a thought, and let it go. And so the trick really is to just have faith in the process, and that the longer that you do it, the better you'll get. And I really loved this Whole Living article because, you know, the author writes and describes her process, and, you know, she at the end finishes with, your heart will soften, your love for yourself and others will bloom, it's inevitable. Drop the story of how hopeless it is and begin again. Every moment is new. Investigate this newness. Don't miss it. And I think that's so telling and great, and not to worry about how you're doing. And I think a lot of people get turned off by some things that are in the more complementary alternative medicine field because it feels like you need to, you know, be very polarized. You're either on one side of the fence or the other. But the whole notion of complementary is that all these things can work together and complement our lives and not necessarily have to be at odds with each other in terms of, you know, going down the path of Western medicine and then looking at some of the complementary and alternative medicine. And, you know, people feel like they're going to be judged because they're, you know, not trained enough in the art of meditation. And, you know, there's so much knowledge out there that can be gained, but everyone starts somewhere always in everything. You always have to take that first step, whether it's meditation, whether it's yoga, whether it's a sport, whether it's cooking, and whether it's something that you are seeking to do that you might not have done before or something that you've done but you're looking to get better. And that's with everything. And so being hard on yourself is futile, and worrying about how you're doing, you know, doesn't help you achieve what it is that you want to achieve. Meditation can be a difficult practice to establish because of a perception that there is a right and wrong way to do it, but really the intention to meditate is the most important aspect of the practice. And keeping an open mind to the process will make it more enjoyable and beneficial to you. And this is part of learning, you know, mindfulness, as the thoughts come and go, that you'll be able to continue meditating without getting too frustrated if it feels like a struggle at times, and not to worry that you're doing it right, just knowing that the more you do it, the more natural it will become. And another challenge, you know, I think we touched on and talked about a little bit earlier was, you know, when to fit it in. And we talked about, you know, the morning, the lunchtime, you know, the evening. And in a lot of ways, it's similar to some of the other things that are in your life that you know will benefit you. But it's a catch-22 in the sense that, so you know, a lot of times if you exercise, you'll have more energy and feel better. But you don't have a lot of time. So you forgo the exercise and then further perpetuates this cycle of being tired. Same thing with meditation, the kind of rest and restorative nature that you get from meditation, if done, you know, fairly regularly, it will let you be more effective in your daily activities, and it will give you more energy and just a greater clarity of mind that will help you do all the other things you do in your life with more efficiency and effectiveness. And so it's that trade-off. Can you find that time that then will reap and, you know, reap benefits and reward you in other ways, because you get this deep rest and a better sense of well-being, that then you can actually bring that to the other things you do in your life. And, you know, again, we talked about the time length. You really, really can be sufficient with just 20 minutes of meditation, you know, and maybe even trying to break up it throughout the day. So it, you know, I think having that that protected time where you have some time just to really go deep with it is great. But if you can find two times in the day to work it in, then that might have some similar benefits for you. And so if you can get up 20 minutes earlier in the day, you know, or, you know, before you go to bed, maybe shave off some of the time you might have spent on the internet or watching television, or, you know, just all the different things that we find to fill our time. After a few days of doing it, you will hopefully see some of the benefits, and it'll be easier to incorporate it into your daily life. And, you know, traditionally, meditation is done at the same time in the same place, but that's just not possible for a lot of us. And so I wouldn't let that be a barrier to trying to incorporate a meditation practice in your life. And you know, there's plenty of opportunities, little windows of opportunities, even if you have a busy lifestyle, like we talked about on the commute, or if you are waiting for someone, you know, if you have kids that you have to pick up from places and you're waiting in your car for their activities to finish and you maybe got there a little bit early, you know, that can be a time to try and just do squeeze in some meditation. And, you know, even if it falls short of the 20-minute goal, it's better than nothing. And, you know, even under lunch hour, if you can't find a place in the office, go to your car if you drive to work, or even to a nearby park. You know, nature can be really a great place to practice meditation. There's so much in nature that actually nurtures us and can contribute to attaining sort of a greater sense of peace and balance. And so we've talked a bit about guided meditation, and we've talked about some of the ways to just start on your own. I mentioned talking about if you're saying things out loud and focusing on a specific mantra, and that is actually a form called concentration meditation, and that is where you are focusing on a specific mantra or some words. And that, like guided meditation, can help people focus sometimes if, again, they are new to meditation or really have a hard time quieting the mind and staying with it. And it can help to have kind of a mental device to keep the mind occupied. And so that might seem at odds with that you're trying to kind of quiet the mind, but by focusing on a mantra or a word of some sort, it can help keep you from kind of flitting about mentally and thinking of lots of different things and just helping to calm the mind down. And so there's a wide range of mantras or sayings that can be used. What is recommended is to make sure it's something that you personally can connect with emotionally. And I know sometimes if people are feeling like there is a lot going on in their life and it's more than they can handle, that a mantra like "I am strong" can be something that is helpful, or "I am loved," or just even something simple as "peace" or "love," and just it could be a sentence or it could be a single word, and you know, it can be something from your own religious or spiritual tradition, or just simply something that is comforting to you. And you can experiment with using different words or phrases. And you know, there's definitely meditations out there that suggest a word for you to use that you can repeat. So if there's a particular one that you find that you like to download or to get on your iTunes or things like that, you know, they may suggest a mantra for you, and if that works, that's great. And another way in which meditation can be incorporated into your life, and again, not necessarily the more traditional forms, but through what's known as a moving meditation. And so that's finding a little bit of this meditative contemplativeness in the activities that we do of our life. And so for some people, cooking can be a meditation. Actually, for me, I find cooking kind of meditative, and because it provides this opportunity to really be present and mindful and aware. As long as I'm not cooking on a deadline or if there's too many people, you know, coming in and out of the kitchen or asking me things, if I'm really just kind of cooking alone or just in a more quiet time frame and not under too much pressure of have to get it done, have to get it on the table, it kind of makes me feel less distracted. And it is an opportunity to sort of just train your mind and to be in the moment and have a sense of sort of appreciation and patience as you're chopping things and you're trying to put the ingredients together and assemble the way. And, you know, a lot of times just the notion of cooking for people in the sense that you are making something that is meant to be nurturing and sharing. And, you know, it is an opportunity to kind of just get back in touch with the food you eat. So a lot of people find, myself included, find cooking meditative. And similarly with gardening, people find just even being amongst trees and flowers and plants to be kind of a conducive environment for meditation, but yet then taking care of plants and planting can sort of elicit some of the same response in feeling at peace and in a more meditative state. And so there is also a walking meditation that can be done. I've seen various kind of scripts on various websites to kind of train your mind as you go for a walk. And I know it's becoming more popular even that there'll be group-led hikes or nature walks where the goal is to be more mindful and to engage in a sort of a moving meditation. You know, and the great advantage of that is that it can be putting activity to a meditation experience. And so it allows you to be more present in your body and in the present moment. And so thinking about, you know, taking each step with your foot and, you know, taking in your surroundings and paying attention to every breath you take and really just being comfortable in your environment and the simple notion of being alive. And so, you know, this, you can do a walking meditation for about 20 minutes outside. It's not going to be for the purposes of exercise, so I wouldn't, you know, think that, okay, well, I'm going to power walk and meditate. It really needs to be much more of an ambling, restful, peaceful walk, and not, you know, with a mission or I'm going to do my errands in between, but really just a walk for meditation so you can, you know, get into the experience with your full and undivided attention. And so, you know, being connected to your body, being connected to your breath, being connected to your surroundings, you know, and taking notice to all the sensations in your body as you walk, and the taking notice of the things around you, from the birds to the bees to whatever is, you know, in that environment at that particular time. And it was interesting. A friend of mine had said when she was under a lot of stress, she has had a lot of caregiving responsibilities. You know, she was sort of taking care of a parent and a child and had a stressful job. And, you know, when things were sort of at the peak, she realized that she hadn't heard the birds. And then when things finally calmed down, she heard the birds again. And she wasn't aware that she wasn't hearing the birds when she was in that mind state until she really realized she heard birds chirping one day. And it was only after some time had passed and things had calmed down that she realized she had been missing hearing the birds. And we get ourselves worked into such a constant state of stress that our senses diminish, and we're very, you know, just inward and thinking of all the things we have to do, and not really getting to that calm state where we are taking in our surroundings. And it's, you know, that's just not healthy. You know, stress exacerbates a lot of existing health conditions, and, you know, finding ways to deal with stress. I think we've spoken about this on past shows and with other guests too, about coping with stress and healthy ways to do so. You know, and so a moving meditation can really be a refreshing change of pace, and it might even be something that's a way, an entree to get more into meditating. If sitting still for you just really still is not a possibility, then try going on a meditation walk and, you know, just taking in all the details that are around you and scanning your body. You know, if you have any tension anywhere in your body as you're walking, try to let it go, try to breathe into it, and just allow that part of your body to relax. And, you know, hopefully your walking will become more enjoyable, and just, you know, moving the awareness from place to place, and then just kind of scanning your whole body from the soles of your feet to the top of your head, and just taking in the sensations. And really just keeping your awareness on the sensations in your body and bringing it back when your mind has wandered as you go through your walk. And obviously, you know, you still want to pay some attention to your surroundings so you're safe, so you're not at risk of falling, or if the area that you're walking in, you know, might have some risk of climbing. You know, in a public park, you do want to be a little bit more mindful of, unfortunately, that is just the reality of our world today. So you do want to be at peace, but then also in a way that is still safe for yourself. So I do think some of those group meditation walks and hikes, I think they do some in Central Park and various places, will encourage that and support that. It's really a neat idea, too, because you will connect with other people, but yet still be alone. And I think that's, you know, really an interesting concept, because, you know, a lot of times when we're in the presence of other people, we feel so compelled to constantly make conversation and think about all the mindless cocktail party banter that everyone has had to do over the years, and either for work functions or family functions or whatnot. And notice we have a really hard time being silent. And I've had friends who have gone on these silent meditation retreats, and I think it would be so amazing. I haven't done one yet myself, but I know it would be challenging, because I myself am also, you know, like many of us, a talker. I like to communicate and express myself. But being quiet for that many hours and days would just be so phenomenal, I think. And I know for a lot of people it was really kind of a life-changing experience. So even doing a small iteration of that, if it's a workshop, a silent workshop, or a guided hike or walk, could be a kind of introduction to that type of activity. And so, you know, there are a lot of health benefits, and as I mentioned before, the evidence is growing. And, you know, there are a lot of hospitals and healthcare institutions and doctors that are or recommending meditation to their patients now, which is great. And you know, a lot of it is because even though the field is still young and really putting the evidence, not the field of meditation in the sense this is a 1,000-year-old tradition, but in the sense that we're putting some evidence-based support behind it. But even as this sort of body of research continues to develop, the notion that many health conditions worsen in response to stress, and if meditation helps with stress, you know, therefore there is a good link in terms of why one might want to look to a meditation practice if they have some sort of health ailment and they also are dealing with stress like many of us are. And so mindful meditation has now entered the healthcare domain because of this, you know, evidence that's growing that cites, you know, a correlation between emotional and physical health. You know, and some of the benefits include reduction in stress, anxiety, depression, headaches, pain, blood pressure. There was a study that was in the Harvard's Women's Health Watch a few years ago where researchers at the University of Massachusetts found that those who meditated approximately half an hour per day during an 8-week period reported that at the end of the period, they were better able to act in a state of awareness and observation, and respondents also said they felt non-judgmental. And so there's, you know, definite change in attitude and outlook that's being, you know, researched and documented now, from which kind of was always suspected of why, you know, people embark on meditation. And now there's, you know, studies that are being crafted to really show that. And, you know, the American Academy of Neurology had cited some evidence from studies that said that meditation can increase attention span, sharpen focus, improve memory, and even dull the perception of pain. And, you know, I can completely attest to this myself in something I observed with my mom. She had been hospitalized earlier this year when her blood counts were just way off, and she, you know, was kind of going on the seventh day of being poked and prodded. And, you know, the hospital were wonderful. It was just they, you know, it was taking some time to figure out what was going on and how we were going to address her count issues. And she had to have yet another test done. And the healthcare practitioner walked in and said, okay, now this is going to hurt. And she had just reached her threshold, like, just no more. I'm sick of being a human pincushion. Even though everyone was doing their jobs and they were doing them well, it was just she had reached her mental point of being there in a hospital and being, you know, basically a human science experiment, and, you know, said, go. I can't do that right. I can't do this right now. And so, you know, the healthcare practitioner, we really had no choice. He left, and the hospital actually has a great integrative medicine component, and they sent up the mind-body specialist. And, you know, I just think how fortunate we are that my mom was, that we were, you know, in an institution that embraced this kind of integrative medicine, you know, particularly where we sort of our backgrounds and our beliefs. And, you know, my mom said, I need to change the energy in this room. And she was, you know, 100% right. It had gotten away from her. The energy, she just wasn't in a place where she felt strong and that she felt in control of what was going on and happening to her body. And so we talked a little bit. I was in the room, and, you know, my mom asked her if she wanted me to stay or go. And she said, no, stay. We're going to change the energy in here together. And the mind-body specialist was great, and I was like, what does a mind-body specialist do? How do you get that? And it was just really fascinating. She actually had a doctorate, and I want to say maybe either psychology or philosophy, but she just had a very calming presence overall, and we talked a little bit, and my mom talked a little bit about her experiences, and then we did a kind of a short meditation together, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, I can't really remember now. And then the mind-body specialist left, and my mom, you know, the shift was just palpable, the shift of the energy in the hospital room, the shift in her, and she was much calmer and just back to herself, the self that I know and recognize, and not a patient in a hospital room, but my mom with this amazing inner strength. And, you know, she said, okay, I'm ready for that blood test now. Go get the guy. So we went and got the guy. And he, you know, took the blood, I think it was from the artery, which tends to be a more painful blood test. And she said, you know what, that didn't hurt. And he was like, wow, everyone always says that hurts. And we were just thinking, well, when you start by saying something's going to hurt, and after, you know, 7 days of just kind of constantly being subject to various tests, you know, of course the mind is going to be just ratcheted up, you know, and not able to stay calm and you know, be centered, and shifting the energy with the meditation that she had done and just feeling calmer and more at peace and more in control, it was such a change in how she was able to receive this test. And even when she had undergone her radiation treatment earlier this year, she would meditate while she was receiving the meditation. And this is someone who was extremely claustrophobic, and so the notion of laying on a table with a face mask and being strapped to the table is just torture. It was horrific, you know. And they gave her, you know, the option to take, I think it was either Valium or Ativan or something like that. And, you know, for the first one she did, and then she said, you know, I don't need that anymore. And she would meditate through the treatments, and, you know, it made a very unbearable 10, 15 minutes, however long the treatment was each day for 6 weeks, so much more bearable, because she was able to take her mind and not be laying on a table with a face mask strapped down. Like, she was able to take herself. And it was really powerful when she would speak about how meditation helped her so much through such a difficult treatment to get through. And I think, again, that's the testament of bringing in these complementary and alternative techniques and bringing things together and integrating, and so really being able to work hand in hand in the sense of getting, you know, some of the medical treatments that are medically very necessary, but yet bringing in techniques that help with the mind and connecting the mind and keeping the spirit really strong and calm in order to fight and heal. And such a critical component of healing is really believing you can heal and believing you have the power to do that. And I know there's a lot of wonderful healing meditations out there. There's Kelly Howland is a healing meditation that we purchased on Amazon that my mom likes and listens to, and I bought for some friends too. And it's a very powerful healing meditation in which she reaffirms and reiterates the fact that, you know, you can, the mind is so powerful, and you can heal when you believe you can. And that's not to say that, you know, meditation alone obviously can heal things, especially, you know, you want to, you know, talk to your doctor if you have any sort of chronic conditions and things about how you can incorporate meditation. And what's just very refreshing to see is more doctors and more healthcare institutions are becoming much more receptive to it. But there's still, you know, there's still a long way to go. And like I said before, it is kind of a growing body of research that's being done. And, you know, I think it's hard to, you know, take things anecdotally, that at the end of the day, it still helps when there's research to support. And so I hope this area continues to be researched and explored, and that a lot of these techniques that help people find more peace are shared more broadly and taught to others. And there was a great Huffington Post article called Meditation Health Benefits, What the Practice Does to Your Body. I would highly recommend you checking that down on the internet, because it really actually talks about the changes it affects in our brain, and that, you know, the cells and neurons in the brain are just constantly making new connections and disrupting old ones based on response to stimuli, and that, you know, meditation can actually affect sort of the neural circuits of the brain. And the Huffington Post article included an illustration to help break down the benefits of meditation on the various functions and organs of the body. And it's really kind of a powerful chart. So I would recommend taking a look at that. And so there are a lot of free online guided meditation scripts that you could read or record for yourself. The one that I found was one for anxiety. And it's a relaxation session. I found it on, what is the site that I found? I think Inner Health Studio is the one that I found that I really like. And it talks about some of the symptoms of anxiety, which can include, you know, tight, tense muscles and shallow breathing. And so it tells you, you know, to first focus on your breathing, that calm breathing is key to being calm and relaxed, and that you should take a deep breath in through your nose and exhale through your mouth as if you were blowing out a candle. And so you can take this script and read it. Unfortunately, I don't think we have time to go through the script today, but I would encourage you to go and check out some of these scripts. And you can read the scripts yourself and try to commit them or the gist of them to your memory and then guide yourself through it to your best of your ability, which will kind of get easier over time the more you do it. Or you could practice reading the script and then record, you know, you can use your computer or your iPhone and record yourself actually reading the script and then play it back to yourself to guide yourself into meditation. Or if you have a friend or family member who has a nice melodic voice, you can always have them record themselves speaking the script and then use it for your meditation. Or, you know, find someone to read the script to. You know, if you have a family member or a friend that you want to maybe take turns and you can try to lead them through a meditation and vice versa. You know, and you really want to make sure that you are breathing and that you're getting the oxygen you need, especially if it's a meditation for anxiety or for calming, because, you know, the oxygen and making sure you're breathing is what will help calm the body down to a certain extent. And giving yourself calming messages. And so this particular anxiety script that I like, you know, talks about repeating some of the phrases such as, I am feeling anxious right now, but I am okay. This feeling will pass and no harm will come to me. I am safe even though I feel frightened. And so just having those mantras, and there are different ones for different types of sort of emotional mental states that are available out there. And so, you know, if you do tend to be anxious or stressed, this might be one to take a look at. And when you do have those moments of anxiety, trying to take those tools and calm yourself. And continuing, you know, breathing and thinking those calm thoughts and inhaling and exhaling and continuing that. And just trying to get some of the tension and anxiety, you know, out of your muscles. We all tend to keep and store tension and anxiety in our jaws or our shoulders or our upper backs, our necks. And so just trying to kind of move and stretch and relax and let your muscles become less tense when you are doing it. Sort of an anxiety releasing meditation or trying to use some of those tools to kind of calm yourself down. And, you know, this script at the end kind of sums up what some of the four steps for quick relaxation are. And one is breathe. You know, two is to calm your thoughts and reminding yourself that anxiety will pass. Number three, you know, just shaking out the tension. And four, relaxing your muscles. And so, you know, breathe, calm your thoughts, shake out the tension, relax your muscles. Are things that you can, you know, pull into your daily life when you need to, you know, rely on those skills and techniques and take into, you know, that moment to help yourself deal with a stressful situation or any kind of anxiety producing event. You know, if there are so many different things in our lives, like I was saying before, when I was sharing the experience of my mom in the hospital and, you know, as a patient, it's so stressful and scary. And then even, you know, as a loved one, it is too. And there are moments where I could just feel my anxiety just racing. And then I would just kind of have to go step into the little water coffee area, get myself a cup of water and kind of do some of these breathing calming thoughts. Because when you are trying to, you know, provide support to another person, you want to keep your own self calm and, you know, relaxed and able to kind of tackle what's at hand. And really just kind of be able to be calm among chaos. And I think that's one of the benefits of cultivating a meditation practice. You know, there's the numerous health benefits we've mentioned, but ultimately being able to kind of draw on that practice wherever and whenever you need it. So in addition to trying to cultivate sort of a daily or every now and then practice, but being able to call upon that when you need it and being able to draw on an inner reserve of calmness and being calm amongst chaos. And so I think we're about to wrap up today's show. I hope you found today's show, you know, interesting and informative and inspiring to, you know, try meditation if you haven't, or think about some new ways to meditate or incorporate the practice into your life if you are struggling. You can contact me with any questions, jenniferfduffy@gmail.com. You can give feedback at blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network, and you can click the follow button and send us a message. And I hope you'll check out Monday's show on the network. It's Spiritually Speaking with Rev Jen at 8 p.m. Eastern. And on Tuesday, Fun to Fortune, Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff, Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern. And the Happy Healthy Hour will be back on November 9th, same time, same place. And so that's it for today. Wishing you all a very happy, healthy weekend. Take care.